Welcome to Crypto Nights, where we help you finally make sense of the trending world of cryptocurrencies. So gather your virtual piggy bank and let's get started.
Hi, Ted and Rosemary, welcome to the Crypto Nights podcast.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you very much.
Yeah, wonderful. So excited. We have been, I have been personally researching about Narrative. I'm so excited to have both of you. Why don't we start off with some introductions? If each of you can take a minute and tell us about you, your background, and your interest in this domain, that would be wonderful.
Hi, well, thanks very much for having us here. I'm Rosemary O'Neill, and I'm CEO of Narrative. And my background is with a company called Social Strata, co-founded that, and have been working in the online community space for almost 20 years now.
Yes, my name is Ted O'Neill, and I'm also from Social Strata originally, founding Narrative here this time. My background really goes back about 20 years when I created this program called the Ultimate Bulletin Board back in the mid-90s. It became a really, really popular message board at the time, and it kind of launched our Social Strata company for a long time here. So we've focused on community-oriented platforms for, again, nearly two decades, dealing with companies of all sizes, small companies all the way up to the Fortune 500. So lots and lots of experience dealing with online communities, the problems of user-generated content, how to manage that. And we took a lot of those lessons really to heart in creating the platform that we're calling Narrative.
Oh, that's wonderful. So you both have huge amount of experience in this space. So you have been at it for at least two decades, from what Ted is saying, even more. And he's dating himself when he says message boards. And
exactly.
The scary part is I understand them. I finished my PhD in 1990 at University of Illinois. So I'm dating myself big time as well.
Yeah, we won't tell.
I know, right? Yeah, it's not public. So, well, that's wonderful. So can you tell us a backstory? How did all of that lead into Narrative? What were the, you know, you obviously were very successful in Social Strata, and that's why you did that for 20 years, and you both have been absolute experts in the domain. But in the process, I'm imagining you found some of the shortcomings and you found there were better ways of doing things in the online world, and you found blockchain to be a great way of getting that accomplished. So can you please walk us through that backstory and how you ended up with Narrative?
Sure. So the idea behind Narrative is kind of, it was one we've had for a while, but we didn't really think it was realistic to do. And really it's kind of the onset of blockchain sort of made everything click for us and made turn it into a model we thought could work. But the basic idea all along was to give users true autonomy within a community. So allow them to really take ownership of the content, allow them to be rewarded for their content too, because what we saw is, you know, with a lot of these brand owned content sites, the users really have no input, autonomy, or even reward in terms of the content they're creating, which is weird because, you know, the people go there to the networks to, you know, take in this content created by these users, and the people who are creating it really are not benefiting at all. So it's more or less trying to come up with a model that we thought could work for the users that are actually a member of these communities. But before blockchain, the problem is you can have this utopian vision of what this model might be like, but how do you compete with a Facebook or a Twitter that already has millions of users in the pipeline? They already have all this advertising revenue. How do you start that from day one to give people rewards when there's very little revenue coming in? And the answer really was in blockchain for us. So we realized that by using cryptocurrency and blockchain, we can actually account for all this revenue, the contributions of the users really well, but also we can use cryptocurrency to help fund the network in the early years as well by minting additional tokens. And that's really kind of the heart of this model that we built, that is that in the first, you know, 5 to 7 to 10 years, when advertising revenue isn't as large as it will be eventually, we can sort of sponsor the community by minting additional tokens in those early years.
Yeah, that's great. Can you help me understand? Can you walk me through an example? Let's pretend that I am somebody that's I'm a user. I'm contributing content. So can you walk me through, you know, what do we mean by content, and how do you track it? How do you reward it? Can you walk me through an example?
Sure. The neat thing, the cool thing about narrative is that it's going to have these niches, we're calling them, and those are basically subject areas. And you will also, each community member will have what we're calling a personal journal. So when I sit down, and I'll be able to just sit down and write or create text and images to begin with, adding more content types down the road. But I'll be able to just create my content, and then I'll be able to say, do I want it to just be on my own personal page, or do I want it to suggest it for a particular niche? So let's say I am a racing nerd, and I want to suggest it for the racing niche. Then other people who are interested in that will be able to discover the content. Now, my rewards as a content creator are going to be directly tied to the popularity of that content and the quality of that content in the network. So I'm judged on the quality of my contributions over time. And so that's something that we're building into the whole system, is this concept of reputation really driving the quality. Because we've seen people struggling against poor quality content or low quality contributors coming into some of these content platforms. Even fake news creeping in. So we're really relying on the users to police that and to be able to upvote and downvote content so that we're getting a quality experience for everyone.
Well, that's great. So so would this be the right place for me if I were a blog writer, or if I'm making YouTube videos, or if I'm a podcaster, who is the primary audience?
Yes, so all those that you mentioned, and we're starting with text and images. So maybe you're a photographer who wants to share images. Maybe you're a writer, whether it's short form blog posts or long form content as well. You can contribute that right off the bat. And the vision is for that to expand pretty quickly into things like video and audio and other types of content down the road as well.
That's wonderful. I'm so glad you took the simplest starting point, which is text and images. So would it be fair to say are you being compared to Steemit and Medium?
Yes, definitely. We really admire different aspects of both of those platforms. We love the simplicity of Medium. Our concept is sit down and write and let the technology stay out of the way. So we really like that model. But their monetization model, it doesn't really work as well as what we're proposing. We believe that by using blockchain, we bring a level of transparency and ease to things that you don't see right now out there. And same thing, thinking about Steemit, you know, they have done a great job of proving that there's a market for social content on the blockchain, but it's very clunky and hard to use for a non-crypto person. So really part of our mission is bringing the crypto world to the masses, and to use narrative, you don't need to know anything about crypto. You'll be able to get your rewards out in just regular money if you want to.
Well, that's wonderful. Because that somebody like me should be interested in that eventually when you have audio podcasting as a part of your framework.
Yes, definitely. We'd love to have you.
But starting off writing, but because I used to spend a lot of time writing articles either on Medium or on LinkedIn, just posting because it was so easy to put them out there. But I would occasionally scratch my head and say, I'm not the one that's making money here. It's LinkedIn or whoever else, right? So it looks like what you're trying to do is being fair to the contributor, and you're trying to figure out ways and means. So if I understood narrative right, so you figured out that there's an entire ecosystem. There are people who write this content, create it, and there are people who are distributing, publishing, promoting this, and there are people who are consuming it, and there are probably eventually people who want to put ads in it. So there are all these so-called maybe behaviors, if you will, and those behaviors can be automatically rewarded by a smart contract on a blockchain. So you're saying, okay, why don't we write these smart contracts that are going to track these behaviors and reward people for their quote unquote right behaviors. And therefore the ecosystem will have an upward spiral of growth. Did I kind of get the concept?
Yeah, definitely. I think one key component too, which we should mention as well, is the human moderation part, because that's all part of the ecosystem as well. So these niches that Rosemary mentioned before, these unique subjects are required to be moderated by real human beings, real moderators. That's if the owners of these niches want to make their own rewards, they have to make sure that they have moderators in place. And those moderators are actually elected by the community too. So we, as the company behind Narrative, we really have no role in terms of how content is created or managed or anything like that. We're hands off completely. The whole system is run by the community itself. So we as a community, we elect our moderators basically. And the nice thing about this is, you know, as opposed to a lot of other systems, you actually have real people who are incentivized to make sure the content is appropriate for the subject that it's representing, and also making sure that it meets whatever the community standards are. We don't set those standards, the community does. So if the community decides this is not an appropriate piece of content or comment, the moderators will help take care of that, not some faceless organization.
I see. Wow. So you also identified not just creation and promotion and consumption and so on and so forth, but also maintaining of the quality is something that you have put that as a power in the hands of the user community themselves, and let them figure out what they determine as high quality or low quality, and have this concept of moderators who are also elected by the user community, it appears.
Yep. Yeah, and we see the moderators being potentially a really big part of this equation, not just in terms of managing the ecosystem, the network, but really creating a whole gig economy within Narrative as well, because all these niches need to be moderated. So there's a whole lot of people out there who have specialty in community management and moderation in general, and don't really have good homes aren't really properly compensated. So we see this as a way of really providing a nice compensation method for these people that serve a valuable purpose out there. And I think more and more we see this, you know, in communities online right now, and whether it's Facebook or wherever else, people upset because Facebook is taking unilateral action. I think the community members themselves will appreciate the fact that, you know, people are looking after the content, but they're doing it based on whatever the community standards are. Because the other nice thing here too, is if a moderator is stepping over their bounds, you can easily vote them out just as easily as you voted them in. So again, the community has complete control over the management.
Oh, that is very exciting. So how do I get paid? Suppose I'm a regular, I mean, again, in reputation building, you're making sure that I produce content, maybe good quality content that the community is voting upwards, you call it upvoting. And then I'm also building my reputation over time. Maybe I'm very consistent. Maybe I'm producing 2 articles every single week for 6 months or 12 months. So you said reputation. I'm assuming that's something that's built over time. And you have ways of monetizing that using your token economy. So how do I get paid? Do I have a wallet associated with my account?
Yeah, so basically we have what we call a network rewards pool. So all the money that comes in the system goes into network rewards. So whether it's advertising, or I mentioned that we're going to be minting new narrative tokens for the first 29 years or so. So all those newly minted tokens, they go into this network rewards pool too. But just think of it as all the revenue coming in basically for all the different sources. And each month we're going to take that revenue and we're going to dole it out to the community basically. So if you have $1 million in 1 month in revenue, we're going to take that $1 million. We're going to send 85% of it back to all the users based on a certain reward formula. So for instance, content creators are always going to get 60% of that rewards pool. So 60% of that money each month is going to go straight to the content creators on a prorata basis, again, depending on how popular their content is. And then you have another level is the niche owners. So all the people that own the niches, they're going to get 10% of the rewards. Moderators are going to get 8% of the rewards. And then you have people in general getting rewards just based on their activity, because all the things I do in the network, we're sort of tracking your actions in the network, and we're assigning points to those, and also based on your reputation as well. So even if you don't create content, even if you're just interacting in various ways in the system, whether it's commenting, liking, voting on proposals in the system too, you're increasing your reputation, but you're also earning points and rewards ultimately from the system. So the bottom line is everybody who positively contributes to the network is going to get rewarded to some degree.
Yeah, and the listeners who would like to drill down into this is shown extremely clearly as a beautiful pie chart. in the white paper. I recommend you look at page 17 of the white paper that has this very clearly explained. Thank you, Ted, for walking us through that. That's very helpful.
Sure.
So if we can move on. So why did you decide? I understand the reason for the blockchain, and I kind of can guess the reason for the ICO, but I would like to hear from you. What are the motivations behind the ICO? How much are you planning to, are you raising? I know you're in the middle of it. And how do you plan to use it? A little bit about that, please.
Sure. So we've been actually working on the platform as we speak. So we're not using the token sale to actually create the platform in a real sense. We have an early alpha that we're actually releasing in a couple of weeks here, which is focused strictly on the niche reservation and purchase process. So that'll be going live here in a couple of weeks. But the purpose of the token sale really is to help fund the operations over the next few years until, again, there's enough money coming in to fully fund our operational side as well. By operational side, I mean continuing to develop the software, maintaining all the infrastructure, marketing it, because we see marketing as really critical for this as well. We can have a great platform, but if the world doesn't know about it, it's not probably going to work very well. So we see our primary role from an organizational standpoint being marketing and software development. So we've got to fund that in a real way. So that's the whole purpose of the token sale, is to get us off the ground for the next few years here. But again, the good news is, We've already got a working, you know, prototype in terms of the niche stuff coming up here very soon, prior to the close of the token sale even. So we're really excited about that. And the other piece is we're jumpstarting a lot of our development by licensing a lot of the technology from our other company, Social Strata, that we've developed over the last 20 years, the technology there. So just using a lot of the technology we've kind of built over the years and licensing it really makes things go a lot faster for us on the narrative side of things.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, those are all the, you know, I have this mental checklist when I was all excited about you being domain experts, been in this space for a long time, and then building it out. And what I learned from you now is the technology is being built out in parallel to the ICO.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And, you know, this project is like our dream project. This is our dream ultimate community that we've always really wanted to do. So it's exciting to be able to get started with it.
And there's no better way to build a community than use the blockchain. You know, many people think that blockchain is there only to raise money through an ICO, and same thing with Bitcoin. But really, people forget the fact that, hey, Bitcoin is really a community. Mm-hmm. It follows the Metcalfe's law of n number of people connected means n squared value. So I see that the longer, and this is a perfect model in some sense, because people are contributing content and the number of people that are reading it will keep on increasing. And as the number of people n increases, the order of value is n squared. So I see that the longer you are in business, the more value you bring to larger number of people. So in a mathematical sense, it's a great idea that domain-wise, it fits perfectly with the blockchain concept and community building concept.
So. Yeah, exactly. We're really excited about it too. And one thing also to keep in mind is the first version of Narrative is English focused. So We have this concept that language should be unique from a content standpoint in terms of language, because you get people get a little bit confused when you have a mixture of different languages within the same piece of content, whether it's comments or whatever. So we're starting with English, but our goal definitely is to support every major language in the world. So we plan to roll out specific portals, versions of Narrative in different languages as well. So you'll see Spanish and German and French and Japanese and Chinese and all the various languages of the world over time. We'll roll those out. And the nice thing is each language will have its own set of niches as well. So again, it's very language specific or culture specific in terms of how you want to organize yourself. It could be that the Spanish version of Narrative has a different sort of set of ethics than the English one does in terms of what they want to, what they consider, you know, good content versus bad content. So we kind of like that, the model of having flexibility from a cultural language standpoint too, to do things slightly differently if you want to.
Well, that's amazing. So please dig a little deeper. Tell me a little bit about when your ICO started. When was your pre-ICO? How is your token sale going? And how much are you planning to raise overall? And I do know that March 29th, I believe, is the last date for the token sale. So can you please tell us how it's going and how much you raised?
Sure. So the token sale started on February 20th, I believe. And also keep in mind, we are a NEO-based blockchain project too. We'd actually started being an Ethereum-based project and we switched to NEO just a few weeks before we were supposed to launch our token sale project. So we were kind of scrambling for a few weeks there to convert all of our smart contracts over from Ethereum to NEO. It was
good times.
It was, you would not believe how crazy it was for us for a few weeks there. But anyway, we're really glad with the switch. We had a lot of really good connections in the NEO community. But the ICO, the token sale, started February 20th. Like you said, it ends March 29th. We've raised, depending on the value of NEO, we've raised around $10 to $12 million so far. We're about 63%, I think, capacity in terms of the tokens right now, with about a little bit less than about 2 weeks exactly to go, I guess, in the token sale. So we're really happy. We're fully funded. We blew past our soft cap, so we're good. Even if we don't take another dime in terms of contributions, we're good. But again, we do encourage more contributions. So we're in good shape. So we're really excited. And we've just been really, really excited about the reaction to Narrative. So many people are really looking forward to this becoming a reality, I think. And so, you know, the token sale obviously was important. But more than the token sale, it's seeing all the people coming in being really excited about what we're working on and building for the future.
Yeah, if I can add on to that real quick, I've been super excited to see a little mini community starting on our own website now. You know, we don't have Narrative up and running, but we are using some software to actually talk with our founders and our community members already, and some really great in-depth conversations going on in there already from the community, making suggestions, coming up with creative ideas, talking about what niche they might want to use. So I would encourage, if anyone's interested in the project, just from the standpoint of being in on the ground floor of something really unique that's about to go crazy, that community that we're building is already taking root, and it's really exciting to see.
Exactly. And so actually, the funny thing is, this is probably the best time to invest for people who are interested, because you have significantly de-risked. Even if you see, like you said, February 20th, you didn't know how much you will raise, but now it's $10+ million that you already raised. So this is a legit business. It's a real one. You have community building up. You have technologies that are being rolled out. So vis-a-vis so many other ICOs that we see, you know, that most of this checklist is question mark, back by question mark, back by question mark. You have put an exclamation next to many of these. And so let's pretend for a minute that I come in and invest and buy some Narrative tokens. How do I use them? Do I need them to publish my articles, or do I need them to vote for somebody? How do I use these tokens to get entry into the community?
No, that's the good thing. You don't need to use them to participate in Narrative at all. So the Narrative token is purely utility. You're not required to pay to post. You're not required to pay to view or like comment or content or anything like that. And all of the rewards, really, it's a currency. So again, advertisers are going to pay us using our token. Okay, so all the revenue in is going to be in this cryptocurrency, and all the revenue out in terms of the payments back out to the users is also in cryptocurrency. But having said that, one of the cool kind of features of Narrative is that we're going to support fiat payouts as well, because, you know, the crypto world is still relatively small, right? I mean, the number of people who really understand crypto is, you know, probably less than 10%. So for this to be a mainstream service and network, we need to appeal to all people, not just the ones who understand cryptocurrency. So for that reason, we're going to allow people to cash out their network rewards in fiat if they prefer.
Okay. And yeah, okay. And you have done the usual, you have 100 million limit, and I think you're going all the way up to less than 197.5 million tokens over the next 29 months. Yeah.
Yep.
It's very carefully thought out design. I like that.
Thank you.
All right. This is wonderful. And where would you recommend our listeners go to if they want to get more information, participate in the sale?
Yeah, the URL, probably the most direct path is narrative.network. And that will lead you to the white paper, the token sale page, everything you need to know. We also have a Telegram group going that you can link off of from that page. and social accounts everywhere. So we're basically everywhere and very interactive. So if anybody is listening and has questions about the token sale or about Narrative itself, we're there. Our team is there and very interactive, especially in our Telegram group too. So come in and ask your quick questions anytime.
Wonderful. And Rosemary and Ted, are there any questions that I should have asked but did not? Is there any other points that you think our listeners should know?
I think in terms of the token sale, it's just worth noting that we do require registration and we do KYC checks on everybody as well. So if you do want to contribute, make sure you register in advance and allow at least a couple days, 1 or 2 days for us to process everything. So keep that in mind as well. I guess the last thing I would mention too is kind of a ancillary project of ours, which we just announced, was it yesterday?
Yesterday.
we announced a new project. It's kind of a cousin project of Narrative called Native. And Native is a whole blockchain-based rewards system that we're building. We're designing it to be more or less like a Stripe for rewards, basically. And this sort of came out of our Narrative design. We're sort of developing Narrative, we realized that this reward payout system we're building for Narrative, this could work really well for other companies that might want to do something similar, whether it's a community-based project like Narrative or even just a commerce company as well, because there's so many different rewards and loyalty programs out there. So we're sort of carving that part out as a separate entity called Native. And the other really nice thing for our Narrative token sale contributors is we're actually going to be doing an airdrop for all of our Narrative token sale contributors of some of these Native tokens.
So Native is going to be a completely different blockchain. Are you going to be doing another ICO for Native as well?
No ICO. We're going to have two. I don't want to get too complicated right now because I know this is all about Narrative, but there's basically two different tokens in Native. So we have a Native token and a PEP token. We're going to airdrop these Native tokens, and those we definitely won't be doing any kind of token sale for. It's still TBD as far as the other transactional based token in that. We could do a token sale in the future, or we might not. I think it's still a few months out to decide that. But the key point here is for that base Native token, which is the currency token for that, we're basically airdropping it to all of our Narrative token holders. We want to reward them because really this idea came out of Narrative. So it's only fair to give all of these Narrative token sale contributors a piece of that that pie as well.
Well, that's amazing. This is almost like PayPal was to eBay. It looks like if we take the eBay of content as Narrative.
Actually, yeah, that's a really good analogy. I hadn't even thought about
that. Can we use that?
yes, please use that. Please use that. But wow, you guys are amazing innovators and just being in the domain, finding problems, solving them. I wish you guys the very best, and not just the token sale is already a success, but also Native and your work beyond the ICO.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Big fans of the podcast.
Yes, definitely.
Thanks for listening to the Crypto Knights. Never miss an episode. Subscribe now at www.cryptonights.io.